Cavalcade of Kings. Edward the Fourth. Edward the Fourth's victory at Towton was his real claim to the throne of England, and most people were glad to have him as king. Henry the Sixth was deposed accordingly, but his determined wife, Queen Margaret, with the aid of French money, kept fighting his forlorn cause, and also that of her son, the young Prince of Wales. She was defeated at last, and Edward the Fourth, a young, dashing, handsome man of 21, took his unquiet seat upon the throne in the year 1461. His greatest supporter in his fight for the crown had been the old Earl of Warwick, but later, through Edward's licentiousness and his entanglement with Elizabeth Woodville, a bitter quarrel started between the king and Warwick, who was supported by the nobles. At the moment, we find Edward and his one-time friend in the midst of a heated discussion into which Elizabeth intrudes.
In God's name, my lord, will ye answer me this? Am I king or am I not?
Thou art king, sire, but 'twas I who set ye upon thy throne, and just as surely will I unseat ye.
Thou had better curb thy tongue, Warwick. Treason drips from it.
Ah, young sparrow, thinkest thou to intimidate Warwick, the old eagle of 100 battles, most of them fought under thy banner? I thought 'twas for England's good I placed thee upon her throne. I thought thou wouldst uphold her honor, her glory. But no sooner is the crown placed upon thy head than ye see fit to trail her honor and her glory in the filth of the bawdy houses ye frequent in company with thy rapacious wenches and lewd companions.
'Tis but the old story of age and youth, my good Warwick. Thine arteries have hardened so that the red lips of a comely wench no longer find favor in thine eyes.
I can appreciate a comely wench of quality with the next man, but I'd not stoop to touch some of thy creatures. And yet ye would force one of them upon thy people as their queen.
Lord Rochie, Warwick, dare ye utter one word against Elizabeth Woodville?
I mentioned no names, but would seem my shaft went home right well, sire. However, I will curb my boiling blood and change my tune. I will entreat thee, yea, implore thee, to give up all thoughts of a marriage with this woman. She is a Lancastrian. Her sympathies are Lancastrian, and thine are York. In God's name, what peace or happiness canst thou hope for in such a union?
Elizabeth is very lovely, Warwick, and devilish hard to resist. And what care I for her Lancastrian sympathies? I shall soon wean her of them when she becomes Queen of England.
And when she does, all her brothers and all her sisters and all her relations will be given high positions at court. Ye poor little sparrow, verily ye will fly into a nest of Lancastrian hawks.
And who would ye have me wed, old eagle?
I had hoped for a French or Burgundian alliance, sire. Either would buttress thy throne, and God knows it is in need of support.
I have nothing to fear.
Verily, thou goest round with thine head tucked under thy wing, or into the shoulder of one of thy lighter loves. Know ye naught of the insurrections in the north?
Oh, nothing will come of them, good Warwick, for the people love me.
Yes, but they love not thine unbridled licentiousness. Oh, my boy, I speak to ye not as my king, but as the little curly-headed child I have so often dandled upon my knee. Will ye not listen to words of advice from old Warwick, who would willingly die for thee?
Very pretty, good Warwick. And what are the words of advice you so touchingly beseech his majesty to heed?
Get thee gone, wench. My talk is with the king, not his mistress.
Poor Warwick, how ye are going to regret those words when I tell thee that I am the wife, not the mistress of the king.
His wife? No, no, thou liest.
Edward, my love, to find this impertinent old jester was taught a lesson, and I command ye to do it.
Is this woman thy wife, Edward?
Yea, good Warwick, and has been these many months. So it would seem that the joke is upon thee.
Joke? Ye call it a joke to toss the sacred traditions of the realm over thy shoulder? like a bone to 100 pack of gutter dogs?
Send him away, Edward. He wearies me.
I need no force to drive me from thy pleasant woman. For in thee I see the canker which will eat out England's heart. And rather than see her become a festering sore of degradation, I shall fight and fight and keep on fighting to put Henry, mad as he is, back upon the throne. And now, farewell, young sparrow. God pity thee and thy falseness.
Warwick was successful in restoring Henry the Sixth to the throne, but 6 months later, Edward marched upon London and took him prisoner. Soon after, Henry was murdered in the Tower, and Warwick was defeated and slain in the battle at Barnet, 10 miles from London. Edward reigned for the rest of his life without a rival. In his reign, one event occurred which was of far greater importance than all the victories and defeats of the Wars of the Roses. The art of printing had been invented on the continent, and Caxton brought it to England. He set up the first printing press in the Almonry at Westminster. The king and his courtiers came to wonder and applaud. Oh,
yes. Good Caxton, I have heard of the wonders of thy printing press, but can scarce believe that such are true. 'Tis said that thy machine can cover whole sheets of parchment with writings without the use of quill or finger to guide it.
It is true, sire, what thou hast heard. And it pleases your majesty, thy humble servant will show thee how 'tis accomplished.
Come, gather round the lords, whilst good Master Caxton reveals to us the mysteries of his press.
Upon each of these small blocks is imposed a letter of the alphabet. They are called movable type, and are coated with an ink. And with them do we make the words, which are then set in yonder frame. Later, sheets of parchment are pressed upon the collection of words, which become imprinted upon the parchment, as your majesty will notice by this finished sheet.
Aye. 'Tis a revelation, good Caxton. Look, the lords, the boldness of the lettering, the clarity which soothes the eye, the neatness. Faith, 'tis a work of art. Pray tell me, what lengthy manuscript is this I read, good Caxton?
That, sire, is a page from the Dictes and Sayings of the Philosopher, and holds the honor of being the first book ever to be printed in England.
Ah, Caxton, my friend, thou hast made history. Thy printing press will be a great and beneficent instrument in the culture and enlightenment of my people.
Sire, 'twill be more. For in a dream, 'twas revealed to me that the power of the press would one day be stronger and greater than the power of parliaments and of kings.
Edward reigned 23 years, and now, at the age of 42, we find him dying, worn out in body and mind by his debaucheries. Elizabeth is seated by his bedside.
The wind blows bitter from the north today, Edward. The trees are leafless, and the snow lies deep on the ground. Yet my body is as though 1,000 fires were consuming it.
Fires, Elizabeth.
Yea, fires of regret. Oh, Edward, if only I could undo many of the things I've done in the past. If only I had not encouraged thee in my feasting, thy questionable pleasures, and the many vices we shared so readily. 'Twould not have brought thee to this untimely end.
Yea, Elizabeth. Warwick was right. Would that we had heeded his wise counsel. But curse me for a knave and a fool. I didn't have the wit to see beyond the length of the nose. And after the feasting comes the fasting. that I die in peace, knowing that my son will succeed me upon the throne.
I have grave fears that neither Edward nor his brother will ever succeed me on the throne.
He is my heir. The crown is rightfully his.
Sometimes death surprises us in the midst of our hopes, my husband.
Why, what meanest thou?
I mean that when the boldest, most crafty, and most dreaded nobleman in England has secretly boasted that he will be the next king of England, think ye a puny child of 13 will be allowed to stand in the path of his ambition?
The name of this would-be usurper, wife?
My brother, Richard, Duke of Gloucester.
Richard. Richard, whom I have loved and forgiven many times for his treachery towards me, to contemplate this last act of baseness, which I cannot prevent, for death has laid his icy finger upon my heart. Oh, God, what would I give for just a few more years of life? Just a very few years in order to see my son sitting safely upon his throne.
I will do my utmost, Edward, for our sons. But if Richard prove too strong for me, then...
May the fire of hell consume his soul the day Richard is crowned King of England.